Michimago. Go ahead, Cody. You're on, Cody.
It's time, right about that time. Welcome back to PZ85 Plays, the Curse of Stroud of the Podzilla 1985 Network. I am Cody Sandusky, your Game Master. Thank you so much for joining us once again after our few-week hiatus. Hey, see, it's rubbing off from Lindsay. I can't even say the word hiatus. It's great. We're doing great. 2 weeks off due to different events, and then 1 week off because your boy's private day job decided to keep him around way too long. So, our apologies as we come back from that hiatus, and hey, maybe at some point this summer we'll get a couple episodes in a row. Don't bet on me, though. It's a bad idea. But coming back from the hiatus to continue our adventures in the land of Barovia, it is first playing the Blood Hunter Bjorn. He's pushing out the jive. It's Kaz.
Yes, and I would like to apologize to Shannon for everything, past and present.
Nope, it's going to be an all-show affair.
All right, yep, it's going to keep doing it. On the other side of the coin, he is the cleric Rasmus Thomason. He's bringing in the love. It's Double H.
Let's chop cats. Let's chop cats.
She wants to see a lot more Teddy Roosevelts and a lot fewer Franklin Roosevelts. She is our resident Aragonasi, Zephra, played by Lindsay Wolfgang.
I got a cupcake, and I only got halfway through because it's too sugary.
That's unfortunate, but hopefully a good problem to have. And he still owes me 10 more Iroquois twists. It's Aiden Valmont being played by Shannon Young.
I would tell Lindsay to hide those cupcakes because I might run up there and eat all of them and then wash it down with a cold glass of milkshake.
If you made a cupcake and the frosting on top is at least half as tall as the cupcake, you made a bad fucking cupcake.
True,
you did really. It wrong.
Yeah, you gotta bring that shit down a bit.
I don't need a pile of sugar, man. I just
the whole thing sugar. I don't need more exacerbated sugar.
God,
I need a little. I need more sugar. There's a part of my body that isn't consumed by diabetes.
So, Lindsay, we actually that's the ones I think they're from. We had those at family lunch for Father's Day yesterday, and I ate half of one and half. I ate half of one and half of another, and I died inside. So yes,
Lindsay,
I agree. Too much sugar.
You take the bottom stump off and put it on top. You make a sandwich. Yeah.
I did, but I have a plate and a fork, so I was doing it like cake.
It's not a bad
decision. That's fine. That's not a bad idea.
All right. When last our illustrious crew were together, we lost somebody. Not of the main four here, but in an encounter with the bastion of evil in this land, Strahd himself, the intrepid, I'll be very kind, throw some nice adjectives on there, the intrepid idea of one Aiden Valmont to take the carriage that was being led by the Mardukovs to take them to the Wizard of Wines, tried to take Strahd away from the party, and unfortunately in that effort saw, or at least heard, and then later saw behind him Danica Mardukov fall victim to Strahd before he took his leave via his mist form. That being said, mechanically, we have talked about it off screen, but I'll go ahead and just bring it to the audience. We have leveled everybody up to level 5 because we're at a good place for that right now, or at least the best place we're going to be able to wedge into a little bit. With that being said, there's a few features that may come up for some of our characters in tonight's session. We'll see how that goes. But they have, to this point, not long rested or short rested. We are still in between rests in that respect. So the scene comes back into play. We fade back into view here in this forest in the land of Barovia as Erwin Mardukov has caught up with Aiden Valmont and the carriage to see Danica eviscerated on the bench in the front of the carriage. And at least if you were to see our map view, the rest of the party has quickly, I would say, dashed to get to this location, not terribly far away, all things considered, from where the combat first took place a couple of sessions ago. Any questions for those of you who are here?
Not until we start.
I had a question, but it's about food, so I'll withdraw it.
Well, you gotta eat that candy bar while you're asking where to find the wizard's key?
I withdraw my question.
Breaks wrapper. Okay. So, because of the character tokens are where they're at, I'll allow you guys to set the scene for the rest of the listeners. Where are you at as you kind of made your way toward this wagon? Are you sprinting up to it? Are you taking your time? Like, where are you all, despite where the tokens are on the map, in respect to this whole scene?
That's Irina, right?
No, Irina's top left.
No, Irina's in front of me.
I mean,
Danica.
Mark yes, off. Danica, thank you. Yeah, yes. That's who I was talking about. Yeah, no, then I'm where I want to be. I don't want to just take this thing over, but you know what I want to do, Cody.
I do know what you want to do.
So, and I don't know how this plays with what just happened. This is what we're going to hash out. So, mechanically, if we leveled up in that moment, and we now have access to the stuff that we leveled up to, I have a new spell called Revivify that I would like to cast. Now, technically, I was out of spell slots, but I did not have, here's the real trick, I did not have access to third level spells until this happened. So technically, I could not have used any of the two third level spell slots I had before this moment. Ergo, I couldn't be out of them. I want to cast a spell.
Paint the picture for me. What does it look like as you come up upon, kind of give the view for you and the listeners? Erwin has quickly transformed out of his were-raven form into his human form. And
he was talking a little bit, as I recall, at the end of that last
episode. Yeah, he's trying to make peace with the situation. As you remember from the end of the last episode, we understood what we do here. This wasn't supposed to happen. Not like this. This is not the fate we were supposed to befall.
Okay, and just real quick, she wasn't dismembered in any way, right? He killed her by crushing her throat.
Essentially, I use the word eviscerated to make it sound more like potent, because he slashed at her once, probably in the process, like trying to get to her, but she's intact, all things considered.
I'm cold. I'm going to grab a hoodie. I'll be right back.
You're good. So, my the way I would imagine this, sorry, I'm going to clear my throat real quick off camera. Anyway, I don't know what the hell that was. My mental image of this is as Erwin is talking and kind of explaining the situation to the group that's there, Rasmus would be one of the last to run up because we were pretty far back, as I recall, me and Irina. One of the last to run up upon that situation. And basically, as he kind of breaks through the small crowd and sees what's happened, he surveys that situation really quickly. And without really thinking any further, he immediately kneels down like in front of Danica, places almost like a lay on hands, like places his hand on her forehead, lowers his head, and starts almost like whispering something to himself. Anybody listening closely enough would hear that it's some sort of prayer to Ilmater. And it's a short one, whatever it is, because he's repeating it over and over with his eyes closed and his hand like almost like palming her forehead and the top of her head.
Okay. You run up and do this, and for the rest of you around, Erwin doesn't pose any like impedance to Rasmus coming up and doing this. It's only been a few days you all have known each other, but Erwin understands enough of what Rasmus's general beliefs are, like what he is, what he works to do. So he doesn't pose any impedance. He just kind of steps back, if you were, in terms of the space of the bench on top of the carriage and allows this to occur. Rasmus, for you, it's a mixed feeling. Not the activity that you're undertaking, but you simultaneously, the connection you have with Ilmater, it's still there. But in this specific moment, it feels slightly diminished.
Yeah.
It feels slightly, for the first time since you've been here, you feel like there's a little bit of distance or separation. You still feel Ilmater's connection to you, but it is faded to an extent. But in that absence, you sense something else kind of filling the void. Kind of stepping up. So as you recite your incantation and do all of this, you maybe feel the spiritual duality within you of, you haven't done this before, so you may not know whether or not this is how it's supposed to feel with your connection to him, but you also feel like another presence that you aren't to this point familiar with. But as you perform this incantation, you do so, and underneath your hand palming her head, you feel a little bit of restlessness and slight movement.
I'm going to continue until I get a clear indication that she is actually coming back.
Okay. Okay. You do, it's only about 15 seconds more, if even, you know, in moments like this, an hour feels like a lifetime. An hour can also feel like
right.
a half a minute. So it doesn't take too much longer to where she starts to stir and kind of mutter a little bit. What? And she kind of draws in a deep breath. You kind of, you know, feel her body shift as she would do, kind of like breathing from her chest. Mm-hmm. And kind of shift her body weight a little bit. So not much talking, just still kind of a little bit of muttering, but you sense that she's revivified. She has life left in her lungs.
As soon as I get any indication of that level of life from her, I'm going to move my hand from her forehead to like the back of her head just to lift her up and then motion to Erwin until he can take over. As soon as he does, I'm getting out of the way.
Yeah, and he does so. Yeah, you lift up and kind of help her up. She's kind of getting her way toward a seated position. And Erwin admittedly looks astonished or at least taken aback. I think the whole thing is kind of weighing on him, so he kind of lifts her up and, you know, starts kind of just lifting, not trying to throw his weight around her because he's still worried. He's still cautious. Like,
yeah,
my dear Danica, you're well, it's okay. You're here.
Mechanically, she has one hit point. So
yes. So he lifts her up, and you hear him kind of start the conversation as you were to step away of Danica, my dear, my love, you are here. You're safe.
Okay,
you are amongst us once more.
As he does that, I'm just going to get this out of the way because this will also take me off the board for a little bit because it takes 10 minutes to do. I'm going to use the other third level slot that I have, which will now put me completely out for the day, and upcast a version of Prayer of Healing. So anybody who – this takes 10 minutes for me to do. Anybody who is currently hurt – and you may not know because when you leveled up, it's going to automatically
– Correct.
I think.
Mechanically, I'll go ahead and say if you want to roll it just to get that spell slot burned, you can do that, but we'll probably take care of that here in a second.
Yeah, everybody, I just think it's good for flavor purposes. Everybody gets 24 hit points.
Nice.
So if you were hurting, you should be good now.
Hurt no longer.
Yeah.
I get to be fortified beyond my current HP?
No.
Bummer.
No. They're not temporary hit points. They're regular ones. And so, yeah, basically as soon as Erwin takes over, Rasmus turns and the praying like never really stops. Like he turns and just kind of walks through the crowd with his head down, back probably toward the back of the wagon and would take like a knee back there and continue his vigil.
Okay. So for the remaining three of you, and we'll kind of play through Irina in a bit. Actually, Bjorn, I don't see you on the map. Are you all the way down or am I just missing where you're hiding?
I accidentally deleted myself.
All right, well, let me throw you back on there, and you can kind of pick your place. It happens. Tokens are a jerk sometimes. As it stands for the rest of you, again, you know, map layout B as it is, what is your opinion, whether spoken aloud or thought otherwise, as you witness this entire sequence take place? And again, it doesn't take long. Revivify can only to kind of break mechanically. You can only do it in the first minute after someone perishes.
Yeah, and it's an action, so it happens in less than 6 seconds.
Yes.
I feel like I want to look down and be like, goddamn demon.
I mean, I'm kind of impressed because I've never witnessed anything along those lines before, but I'm not going to like voice any of it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how to feel, Cody, since I'm a paladin. I assume on the one hand, he's kind of like a strict... you know, monsters and magic are a no-go in a way, but in the other, you know, he's a paladin, so I assume he would be aware that this kind of thing exists and would be okay with it, I assume, right?
I mean, that's up to whatever you believe. Generally, paladins, as written in the book, are somewhat faith or deity connected, like they have a belief system because they function similar to clerics in terms of their ability to bless, their imbuing of radiant energy. So, like, there's some of that to it, but, I mean, Aiden can believe as Aiden believes. Or not, you know. If he wants to believe, he can.
Well, that's the name of the show. Mondays, once every 6 months, I want to believe here on the Podzilla 1985 Network.
Aiden wants to believe.
Hey, it's almost like the combo episode from last week where you guys rolled a D20 to get out of talking about this show. Hey, yo.
Mostly that's because I didn't have anything planned beyond that D20. Had Hunter not beaten that throw... then I would have been pulling things out of my ass, so...
Had you been there, I think we would have done a brief 5 minute recap.
Been there, Cody, I would have talked to you beforehand and like set something up with you.
No, it was way more fun to listen to that in the moment. Like, roll a d20. All right, we escaped. No more. Thanks.
I'm going to need to get "that was fun to listen to in the moment" on a t-shirt. That's going to be our slogan.
Yep.
It was fun to listen to in the moment.
In the moment.
In the moment. So, Aiden, mechanically, you can believe whatever you would like or however you wish to perceive this moment.
Unspoken, Aiden he's happy that she is not dead because he obviously blames himself for it. But it kind of weighs on him because he's never gotten anybody killed before. And, he thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was being heroic. And who knows how it would have turned out otherwise, but he's a little shaken.
Okay. Irina, for what it's worth, is stunned silent. Like, if you were to look at her, she's... gobsmacked's probably too strong of a phrase, but from her experience here in Barovia, her life here, that's not something you take it she's encountered very often. Again, people of faith other than Velaki and the minister or the father in both towns, theoretically, because you knew there was a church in that town. They talk about the Morning Lord, but you could tell, at least in this situation, Irina either doesn't have a connection or has not had any reason to believe, and the fact that something like this happened on that powerful of a level catches her off guard.
He's a miracle man.
Erwin gets Danica sat up, and he, as she starts to kind of settle and is able to bear her weight a little bit and kind of establish herself on the bench of the wagon, he surveys all of you. Rasmus, you being in the back of the wagon, you're kind of, like you said, out of the pocket for a couple minutes. And he looks at you and says, "A lot has been undertaken in a short time. We are still too far from the vineyard to start undertaking what lies beyond. As I do not know, I do not wish to go blindly. May we find rest here for the night, as I don't know if there's much option in any other."
He's saying that to me, yes.
Generally everybody. I assume you in the back of the wagon kind of going through your prayer and healing, you probably hear that as well.
I have to actively be doing that. So basically I can look at him and like nod, and it would be a very solemn but like kind of wide-eyed, "Yeah, that's a good idea." Move, but I'm still constantly keeping up the speech.
Yeah. And for what it's worth, the rest of you, if you were to look at him, you don't feel as though this is up for negotiation, but he's also understandably in some bit of what appears to be shock, or at least like tried to assess the situation in real time and make strong declarative statements. So as of right now, he is kind of making sure Danica is taken care of. He comes down off the bench of the wagon, checks the horses, checks that wheel, and Aiden, you notice as he goes to check that wheel, if you were to compare it to a car, only about 2 of those 5 bolts were fully tightened before everything kicked off. So
while he's down there and he's with me, I'm staring just straight forward. But I do want to ask him, like, where does Strahd go? Where is his castle?
The questions you ask are 2 separate. His home, his castle, his resting place, his castle Ravenloft, north of the village of Barovia. Where he resides, as you surely have noticed now, is everywhere here.
Nod.
Wherever he wishes to be. Ears, eyes, representatives, or himself. They are capable of being in any place at any time, seemingly.
Shannon, you would know that we passed Castle Ravenloft between Barovia and Velaki.
Mm-hmm.
When we were traveling with the Vistani, we passed that place.
Yeah. Or at least the road that takes you to that place. Yes, it would have.
Yeah, because they specifically were like, "Hey, don't go that way."
Mm-hmm.
Well, seeing that we are camping in the middle of the woods in an area that is not safe, I'm going to volunteer to take the first watch. on making sure that nothing comes at us.
Okay.
Yeah, Bjorn doesn't tend to sleep all that much, so he's going to kind of walk away from the pack themselves, just kind of think about and dwell back on the things that he just transpired with the Bloodsucker dude. And I'm trying to, do I need to move my part, my piece or anything?
No, I mean, again, all the, you can do theater of the mind. You should have control of them, but let me make sure you do.
Well, that's what I was wondering. It's like, if we're camping down, and do we need to get out of the wagon and like?
Generally, I think mechanically you should be fine to be just wherever you're going to be.
Okay.
Yeah, you can position yourself thematically as you wish, but mechanically, we're just kind of in a central location. So yeah, Danica, again, to Irwin's admonishment, has been imbued with enough life to where she doesn't want to desire enough to sit still. Like she knows she probably should, but her muscle memory and reflexes take the better of her. She tries to do whatever she can to kind of make sure the wagon's cared for and that campment is starting to be placed. Irina jumps in quick order and just goes with her, not knowing really what to do with this situation. It seems like she's got not a 1,000-yard stare, but maybe a 100-yard stare. She's a bit taken aback still, but you know, idle hands and all that. So Irina goes to work with Danica. And things don't take long to come together. Again, this is Barovia. Everything's overcast. Everything is dark. When we encountered Estrad, it was late afternoon. And certainly as that encounter took place and everything is played out, it is now evening, or what is the equivalent of evening has beset upon you all. So as Rasmus noted, camping's probably a good idea, risk or otherwise.
Once I'm done with that prayer, which should be done, by the way, since we're camping now, I'm going to make an effort to both get some kind of a fire going and figure out something for food. If you would like me to roll, I'll do that. Something other than just, you know, if we need to do like a little light hunting or gathering some.
Yeah. If you want to go ahead and give me, for lack of a better thing, just go ahead and give me a nature check.
Also, Cody, okay. I sent you a message on Facebook.
Okay.
What's that, Hunter?
No, I was saying you had something. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I want to make sure you got to ask your question.
Yeah.
I don't have a bonus, Cody, but that's a 15.
Okay. Yeah, you, again, being in a military society, you're at least a little bit familiar with making do with rations in the woods. Like, you know enough to be able to forage for yourself to sustain. So you are able to nearby rummage up a little bit. Like, you probably catch a rabbit or something of that ilk, a small game creature.
Cool. I don't know that anybody actually has like a cooking pot or something, but maybe Irwin has something we can use in his cart.
Yeah. If you were to go back there again, because it was a quick slapdash leaving of Valaki due to everything that happened.
Yeah.
You can tell Irwin isn't as prepared as you would imagine a shopkeeper to be, but he has some goods, like enough to get through a couple of days. If in the worst case scenario, it's almost as if he keeps the equivalent of the medieval society shelf stable goods, like hardtack and things of that ilk. He's got some nourishment back there to make good if something bad were to happen, and clearly it has.
If I can throw together some kind of little stew or some kind of little meal or something, that's what I'll busy myself with.
Okay. Well, what do the rest of you do? Again, it's not a large camp because there's only like the six of you as it goes, five or six of you. It's the perimeter is pretty tight, especially given the circumstances that have happened.
Aiden is off in a corner somewhere sulking, and he's got him some sticks. And he is sharpening the points at the end.
My boy making steaks.
You're making steaks, I'm making steaks.
I don't think he's making steaks.
I'm making stew.
I don't think he found a cow.
Well, he could just look at me, right, guys?
No, we're gone. I was going to make a Diablo bit and say we're still looking for the cow level. But
like, I want to walk over to Hunter. He's making critter stew. So is he just got the one rabbit there?
You know, 15, let's call it two. He's probably bagged a couple of good rabbits.
15 rabbits?
No, two rabbits because he rolled a 15.
Oh, goddamn. I was about to say you were a very fucking good hunter. So I throw a coin at him and I'm like, can I get one of them rabbits?
God damn, I'm literally going to knock that fucking coin out of the air and just tell him it'll be ready when it's ready.
I pick it up and put it back in my pocket.
God.
Walk back over to my tree. I sit down. I stare a little bit across the way over there watching Aiden sharpen his sticks.
He's a plotting. Now he's
I found a picture of the party and Aiden specifically, by the way, if you want to take a look.
Oh no. Oh, I love it.
That's oh, that boy. Same one that here in a little bit when he has to encounter Strahd again years later, he'll be that other duck going, I'll kick your ass. I'll kick my own ass.
I kind of want to make that the picture for tonight's episode. Just the ducks.
Just do it. The mice stop do it. Go for it.
Do it.
Don't let your dreams be dreams.
Oh, well, oh man. Right, okay. Cody. I did the Iggy.
Okay. As the encampment is put together, Rasmus is kind of cooking the two rabbits. Again, hardtack, and there's some shelf stable supplies like. Again, this is where maybe my medieval knowledge fails me. There's some barley back there. I'm trying to think of random grains you can keep in, like, barrels for situations like this.
Wheat.
Something of that ilk.
Rice.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I was thinking rice, but rice seemed too obvious and plain, so I went with barley because I'm that asshole. So.
That's fine.
Eat your fucking barley soup and be happy about it.
And some hops.
Said Mr. Oregon Trail. So you're preparing that, and Erwin, after getting Danica to sit and you kind of the protesting and not much bickering, but, you know, a little bit of that married couple rifling back and forth of, no, you were not well for a period of time. Please, rest, sit down. We will do this. You get that kind of vibe. And it's not terribly loud, but, of course, it's a small encampment. You're in the middle of the woods. Not much to hear other than the ambient sounds of nature and them having their discussion. So, but Danica eventually does sit down and rest. You can tell she's still mechanically 1 HP game situation, still very drained, very, very shaken from everything that's happened in the last little bit. Erwin kind of sits down next to you, Rasmus, as you're preparing, and he kind of does the same. He grabs some of the materials out of the wagon, starts prepping it, and he looks at you and just says to you, though probably to anybody listening, I believe it's been put in the open now. You may be different than the rest of us, but I think it's been revealed we're all monsters in some way. The Count proved his point, I suppose.
I'm not going to look at him immediately as I'm doing whatever it is, you know, fucking shaving carrots or whatever in the moment, right. But like, I think we're probably doing kind of the same thing. We're both undertaking some little activity, but we're not really looking at each other. We're definitely talking to each other, but we're not looking at each other.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna not really cut him off at the word monster, but just tell him you're only something to the effect of you're only a monster if you let what someone says about you seep in. If that's what they tell you you are and you go along with it, that's what makes you a monster. What we do is not monstrous. There's a big difference between being different and being wrong.
He nods to those words. Yeah, he sits there for a moment, kind of again, idly getting things prepared, and mentions, that's what we tell ourselves. That's what we have done as the Order for generations now. In this place, there's need to whatever you call us, use the gift imbued upon us to protect others and to keep whomever and however many safe in this land as long as possible. Clearly, as you see, we've inherited, had bestowed upon us. And at that word, you can tell, at least in his demeanor, it's more of a, it's a compliment. It's not like a regretful or despised phrase. It's more a treating it as a gift rather than a resentful thing. Bestowed upon us this nature of being. It's, as you can understand, something we don't reveal to people often, nor do we find it prudent to make it known to those who would cause harm. But again, few, if any, things seem to escape the sight of Strahd.
Is this a conversation everybody can hear?
Yeah, generally. At least I won't speak for Rasmus. I'll say for Erwin, he's not being quiet in terms of it's standard conversation volume.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to hide it either.
I would say when he says that, Aiden would stand up and kind of stab whatever he had, whatever dagger he had that he was sharpening with, into whatever solid objects he sees around him, and he would look at them and just kind of very sternly say, like, monsters. Let me tell you about monsters. I kill monsters. That's what I do, and that's what I'm good at. And he kind of points his whip at what's the guy's name again? I forget.
Erwin.
He points his whip at Erwin and says, you are not a monster. A monster is a creature that preys on the innocent and turns good people into whatever the hell Strahd is. Whatever demon created that. Monsters deserve to be killed, not you. And I think someone needs to do that sooner than later. And he sits back down and goes back to whittling.
Okay.
I'm actually at that point going to then look at Erwin and, like, this is no good for the listener, but just kind of give him one of those, like, like, he's right, you know, sort of looks, and then just go back to do it. I'm not going to actually say that.
Yeah.
Just go back to doing what I was doing.
And then Aiden looks over at Bjorn and says, you are probably a monster, but
the jury's still out on you.
But you did save my life, so.
Exactly. I do, and I point at Rasmus, like, he brings back the dead.
Look at Rasmus and say, he did do that, didn't he?
Look, a magician never reveals a secret.
Unless it's a primetime special at NBC and we're talking about stunt grannies.
And then Aiden's gonna look at Zephyr and just, like, shake his head and go back to whittling sticks.
Yeah, Zephyr, you're awful quiet in all of this. I'm sure by design, seeing as there's talk of monsters in all of this.
Oh, I mean, I was raised knowing I was a monster, so I'm not too fazed by it, in all honesty. I'm just kind of walking the perimeter of the camp because I don't really have anything to do and I don't really want to sit still, so I'm just kind of going through my paces, waiting until food's ready.
Okay. Yeah, and it doesn't take much longer at this point. As nightfall begins, the fire's been going, the two rabbits that were caught have been, you know, prepared. Carrots, a few of the, you know, vestments for soup have been prepared, so I think you guys are ready to sit down and eat.
Aiden's gonna point at those rabbits and just say, like, we're sure they weren't people, right? Like, at this point, I don't even know anymore.
Erwin...
We would know.
Erwin, for the first time, really, this entire situation, like, since y'all hauled ass out of Valaki, does give a slight smirk, maybe despite himself, and just acknowledges, of the many entities that Strahd encounters and bends to his will in this land, I don't believe rabbits are one of them. I don't find them to be very imposing entities.
I don't know. Some of those rabbits I've seen back west. Vicious.
Yeah.
Bloodthirsty creatures.
The damnable things.
Were rabbits.
So, yeah, you all gather, and I'll let you kind of determine how you wish to handle it. Danica, again, as you go through this kind of preparement, and she grabs, probably famished from the whole ordeal, she's fairly quick to ask Erwin to get her something. You know, she's kind of, despite herself, acknowledging she needs to take it easy, so Erwin kind of grabs her probably the first serving of something and takes it over to her. You see her kind of again, kind of elevate her head a little bit. Like, she's getting some color back. She's slowly but surely coming back to form.
Aiden is going to sit next to her while he eats and just, you know, legitimately ask her, like, what was dying like?
She looks, she takes a bite. She takes a bite of like the soup and the rabbit, and she sits and thinks about it. And you, like, her body posture and everything acknowledges that she heard your question. She's kind of taking it in and thinking about it. And she looks at you and says, it was brief. There, I have heard talk of bright lights and guiding you somewhere. I saw not that. I saw ancestors. I saw a path of ravens guiding me. I saw my sons. But before I could get comfortable and before I could acknowledge my surroundings, I was back.
Aiden's going to nod and take a bite of his, take a sip of his soup or whatever and just say it almost sounds peaceful.
As soon as he does, from wherever I am, you know, cleaning up or serving myself the last, like, you know, helping or whatever, I'm just going to add over to this conversation. It's different for everyone. And then Rasmus pauses for a second and goes, I mean, that's what they tell me. And he'll, for the first time, actually look at somebody since that's happened and look directly to Danica and go, I didn't know if it was going to work. I've never actually done that before.
She looks at you with a slightly bemused expression, but one you can tell there's a lot of gratitude in her eyes, and says, being a member of this family, being here, we're all too aware at all times that the end comes for us. Part of, and she kind of looks at Irwin and goes a little bit into the spiel. She kind of prepares, takes a deep breath. The Order of the Feather, the group for which we are a part, while we do our best to stay in shadow and help from a distance, we understand that we are going against the wishes of the realm, going against the wishes of Strahd. So a fate befalling us is in some form or fashion accepted. That being said, I am forever grateful that, at least today, by that means was not my way to go. I know not of this Ilmater. I know not of what you believe. But my gratitude is with you and with whom you profess. For I am here with my husband another day.
Yeah, he's not going to say anything to that other than just kind of a little, you know, doff of the invisible hat.
Right.
I will say one more thing. And that is, I have sent so many beings, both human and otherwise, to the beyond. I have never once thought about what lies there. Now I'm going to look over at Bjorn. What about you? How many people have you sent there?
I have lost count. I cut myself every time I've killed, and then I just pull open my vest and show the scars for all of the ones that it's that's befallen my blade.
I'm gonna smirk, nod at him, and go back to eating. For once, he opened up the jacket and it had meaning. See, it wasn't just for silliness. It had something.
Yep. It all added up to that moment.
It was building.
That's right. Just gotta put those blocks in place. You build a story that way, one block at a time.
Yep.
Irina looks at all of you.
Bjorn's silly. He's always opening his coat, but no, he's killed a lot of motherfuckers.
Irina kind of surveys a lot of you, and you could tell she's burdened. She's weighed down with everything that's happened. She kind of sets down her bowl or her cutlery forcefully. And doesn't know, like, she looks at all of you and you can tell there's like something on the tip of her tongue she wants to say, but she doesn't know what to say. And she gets frustrated and kind of just goes into the wagon for a bit. Like, it's kind of formalities and courtesies be damned. She just kind of takes her leave without much as a word.
It's okay.
I mean, we can't really fault her for that anyway.
I mean, I'm going to keep an eye on her as per usual, but I'm she's her own person. I don't want to step in on her business.
Okay.
Are we talking about, wait, which one are we talking about? The strangled one?
No, Irina.
No.
The strangled one.
The one
she has been, she has a name,
she has a name, Cass. I don't remember what it is, but she has one.
There it is.
There it is.
Beatrice, I think. Wait.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's what it is. So as things wind down for the evening, you know, Erwin and Danica are kind of... They finish their meal and they kind of start making preparations for this encampment, trying to make sure everything is as it should be. Erwin acknowledges Zephyr that you said you would take first watch. Bjorn, he knows you said you'd take second watch, but he is quick to note that he will either pair with one of you or find a way to have other surveying around this area to be safe. At least just to kind of give extra security or extra comfort to everyone involved. He acknowledges he'll say as much. He says that after this afternoon's encounter and everything therein, I firmly believe that the point has been made. It would be out of his character to further invoke his presence. He looks at the lot of you and says, from my understandings, this is the first in a long time that any group of people have piqued his interest. And that is almost as damnable as anything else.
I would imagine Rasmus would say something to the effect of, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. You know, there's not much we can do about it for now. We were on a path to safety. Hopefully that is still the case. Regarding the watch, by the way, you would have made some point earlier about how he'll gladly help, but mechanically and literally, he is spent.
Yeah.
Rasmus is completely out of spell slots and use his healing up on everybody else, so he's going to need that full rest.
Yeah. As it stands, we'll let the DM screen come down. This is going to be a long rest for you all. Like Hunter noted, with the level up, you all would have gotten a long rest by default, but this should clear all of your game system mechanics that are cleared under a long rest.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Boom.
Oh, that's so many
spells.
Green pop up.
I was also at half health because I kept using my health on everybody else.
Other people, yeah. And again, I was going to say, I have to remember that despite being a cleric with like armor, you are the squishiest of the party.
Yeah. Yeah. HP wise, I mean, I'm hard to hit, but.
Well, yes, but when you are hit, there's not a lot of runway to go with.
Yeah. What's your AC?
18.
And what's your total HP? That's out of game.
33.
Wow. Mm. Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, that's the rub. Is he's hard to hit. He's a little bit of a squishy boy.
Yeah, but you land one, it's dicey.
Mm-hmm.
See what you did there.
Yeah, I was gonna say something earlier about the fact that technically that prayer would have healed Danica too, but I think mechanically it just makes more sense for her to. Since we didn't need it in the moment, I'm not worried about it.
Right. So yeah, you all prepare for night. The lot of you notice, at least at this point, you see Danica kind of peek her head into the back of the wagon, and she comes back kind of looking at Erwin and the rest of you with a shrug, And she kind of goes toward Irwin to take their camp on the bedroll. You get the vibe Irina staying in the wagon. She ain't going nowhere.
That's for the best.
To that end, then, Rasmus is going to post up near the end of it. He's not actually getting into the wagon, but wherever he's going to rest for the night will be near that area, just for safety's sake.
Okay. Yeah. So you can, we'll kind of fade to black in that respect in terms of, like, any interactions, unless you guys have anything last to say. I know Bjorn's kind of off the distance. Rasmus is toward the back of the wagon, trying to keep guard on that. Irwin and Danica are relatively near the wagon. They're kind of around where the fire is, but they are in their bedrolls. Zephyr, I know you said you would take first watch, so... Oh.
That one.
My screen clicked.
Yeah.
Everything just went black.
Someone took me literally.
While they're doing that, Aiden is over scribbling something down, watching everybody.
Okay. Are you trying to do this discreetly?
Well, he is kind of off by himself, but he's not hiding the fact that he's kind of writing. But, he's just looking out over everybody and just scribbling, jotting something down.
Okay. So, yeah, you're free to do that as he does that, Zephra. Go ahead and give me a perception check.
Okay. Let's see here. Again, I should have this memorized, but I do not.
It's all right.
It keeps changing anyway.
I have a 20.
Oh.
Yeah,
it's
you
not
are,
at, but it's still 20. No.
Yeah, but you are very perceptive. During your shift of the watch, nothing untoward comes up.
Well, except one thing. Perception-wise, you would notice Aiden kind of wandering, and he tells you that he needs to clear his head, because after everything that happened today, he can't sleep, and he is all kind of messed up there right now, so he's going to wander off into the woods by himself, and he'll be back.
Okay, I'm going to tell you, just don't sneak back in. You might accidentally find a bolt in your bag.
Ooh, shit.
I'll take that. He kind of nods at her.
If
and
it's dark and I can't see and he sneaks up on me, like.
From the darkness, you can hear Bjorn snicker a little bit at that statement.
He pats her on the head and says, keep that spirit. And then he walks
in.
And then he walks.
That's not patronizing at all.
Like an older brother.
Especially considering that I'm like 6 foot tall.
Oh, he jumped. He jumped and he did it. Yeah, that's the comedy part. That's comedy. And then he wanders off into the woods.
Never to be seen again.
All right. So Zephra, at least in your shift of the night watch, there's nothing that occurs.
Okay.
Well, the only thing that occurred was we all saw this faint glow pop up and pop down that we never saw Aiden again.
You see, Aiden ran off. He ran off like Giovanni and Team Rocket.
He went and found himself a waterfall in a cave somewhere.
No, just the screen goes dark, and then you come back. And there's no Aiden. There's no Team Rocket. There's no nothing.
It took a longer to get back because he was assigning that skill point.
That's right.
Over
but
time.
The good news was, if there was anything around him when he leveled up, it's dead.
It all exploded. Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah. Over time, you may or may not hear the faint sound of a horse neighing.
He's testing out his new shiny. It's just for some reason I just imagine him deep in the woods just snapping his finger, a horse appears, snapping again, it goes away. And he just keeps on doing this.
It's sort of like that, but it takes 10 minutes to summon this damn horse, so it takes
the third time the horse shows up, it reaches its hoof up and puts it on his hand and goes, "Stop fucking with it."
The horse said, who summoned me?
On the astral plane.
Oh, don't do the voice.
Okay, so as the shift change occurs, so to speak, between Bjorn and Zephra, Bjorn, you don't see anybody move from their bedrolls or anything, But you do hear a fluttering of wings.
Damn fucking big ass insects.
Insects!
Birds.
Yeah, sure.
It only goes to insects. Giant locusts.
Fuck off.
Locust. It's always locust.
And what does the locust sound like, Kaz?
Meow.
Yep, there it is.
They always do. Everything does.
Everything meows. That's the name of Kaz's biography.
Everything meows.
All right, Kaz, you go ahead and give me a perception check.
Meowing ass locust. Hold on.
Okay.
Perception?
Well,
yeah. Well, that's going to change. Meowing ass locusts.
I got to agree. Oh, advantage, I think.
Advantage, I think.
I got a fuck this game.
You got eight.
Eight.
Yeah.
That's not good. Enough. Yeah.
You don't perceive shit. I mean, you generally see that there's no activity going on.
I'm in a waking nightmare is what it is.
Nightmare.
It cured right up.
Wait, yeah. I just heard him say that. That means my perception just got a boost. Can I roll again?
No. Nice try, though. Nothing occurs on your shift of the watch, although you still hear that fluttering of wings kind of in the vicinity. Off and on.
Savage Worlds. That's the name of it.
The name of what?
Oh, right. Like a week ago, I was talking to a coworker about tabletop. And I mentioned I was doing the D&D thing, and I talked about us doing the Horrors of Perryville, and I could not remember the name of it. I'm like, it's not D&D, but it's like D&D. Savage Worlds.
Savage Worlds.
Damn.
It's a system.
Yeah.
All right.
D&D is a D20 system. Savage Worlds is basically a D6 system, but it's its own. Where D&D is a game in and of itself, Savage Worlds is like a framework for it.
Right. Yeah. Because you can do anything in Savage Worlds, pretty much.
Yeah. Right. Savage Worlds kind of like Fates, Blades in the Dark. Yeah.
Like a gherkin or a
GURPS.
GURPS.
Gherkin. That's a pickle.
Yeah, it is.
Those are delicious. Delishable.
But yeah, Savage Worlds. That's what it is.
Thank you.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, that's what it is. Anyway.
I saw a door marked Gherkin. Is that what you saw, Kaz?
Yeah. No.
Very clearly. So, Bjorn, you get a tap on your shoulder probably a few hours into your shift, and you look back and you would see Erwin Martikoff just saying, "Get rest. I fear we'll need it."
Get something, and I just walk away.
And so he
gets something. Is that a threat?
Yeah. So he does that, and we'll time shift a little bit toward kind of daybreak, or we're getting towards sunrise. Whomever the first of you is to stir, typically I know it's Rasmus. He's got a knack for that.
That's true.
So I'll defer to you doing so. You wake up, kind of survey the area. You see Erwin sitting kind of near the fire. He's kind of already got it started slightly, kind of make sure the embers from last night are still active, make sure things are good for the morning. And he's got a note in his hand.
Okay. I'm interested.
He notices you get up, and he kind of generically holds it out. I almost wanted to do the Craig Ferguson from Late Late Night when he had his emails. He just kind of throw the paper out there and pull it back. This was from Aiden in Parts Unknown. Throws it back and comes back. But he does. He looks at the note, and he kind of throws it up a little bit to kind of get your attention. Says, "It looks as though your friend has taken his leave."
As I'm walking over toward him and he's saying this, I'm going to start looking around to see who exactly he's talking about. See who, like, basically to see who's still there.
Yeah. At this point, you see all of them save for Aiden. Now, I will note briefly that you do not see Irina inside the wagon, but Erwin kind of points a little bit forward if you were to look for, and you see her laying on the bench outside, kind of the bench to the wagon.
Okay.
And she's kind of just laying facing up.
I imagine by then, I guess I've reached where he is. Can I? Is he like offering the note to me?
Yeah,
like proffering it. Okay, I'll take it and read it.
Yeah, and I'll put him a little bit out there. Shannon, what say Aiden's letter?
The note is very brief. It just says, "Save the girl. Take care of yourselves. Evil dies tonight." That was for Tanner, by the way.
Okay.
So we're down a party member.
Yeah, I'm gonna like flip it over, look on the back. I mean, I don't think there's anywhere I would have seen.
On the back it says, "P.S. If you survive, kill the blood hunter."
Well, I was gonna say I don't actually think I've ever seen like Aiden's signature or seal or anything like that, but that confirms it. I didn't need to. That answers it. And legitimately at that point, that's when I'm going to hand it back to Erwin and go, "Well, it's legitimate."
I thought that would tell you something.
Yeah, no one heard or saw this happen. Where, at which point, like, I'm actually going to rub my eyes because I was out last night.
He did leave last night, but he said he was going for a walk. He didn't say he wouldn't be back.
He just walked away? Because again, assuming we don't know that you have this like steed thing.
That's true. It is new.
Well, he can't have gotten far if he was on foot. At the silence, I'm going to say...
I can't answer that question.
No. I'm not looking for an answer. But at the silence for the rest of the party, I'm going to go, wait, and just kind of start scanning faces. Are we not going after him?
He's grown. He's a monster hunter extraordinaire.
Thank you.
He is a survivor.
I mean, we don't really have a knowledge of where he went. Well, nope. I mean, I guess from that, but...
He went that way.
I'm going to turn to Erwin and just ask him, I mean, what are his chances of survival out there? You know this place better than the rest of us.
From what I've seen of him, when he takes action seriously, I believe he can hold his own until he enters Castle Ravenloft.
Maybe that's the direction we need to go to try and cut him off at the pass.
If he wishes to darken that gate, I know of no entity that has escaped it or found what they sought.
Knowing what we know of Aiden and in this brief time we've all been together.
That's weird.
Out of character, how long have we actually been together? Like, I feel like
this is like a week.
About a week. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So something tells me he's probably going to do something what he thinks is heroic, but is probably foolish.
That's true.
Shut up. You're not here. You can't speak.
You just imagine
your conscience. And I was like, wait a minute. He's still here somewhere.
Your conscience.
I don't have a conscience. What are you talking about?
You shouldn't have told that joke.
So while everybody's looking for where the voice came from, I propose the likelihood that this fool is going to try and like settle a score at Ravenloft, and that's kind of where I want to go anyway myself. So I say that we try to cut it off and two birds, one stone, and save him from himself and figure out where this takes us.
Hey, not in character. Speaking of two birds, now back in character. Gesturing to those two, to Erwin and Dan, I'm going to go, you really want to take these two to the doorstep of evil?
We can drop them off at a town on the way.
You recognize that they're dropping us off, right?
Yeah.
It should be noted that on the note where it says save the girl, it's circled. He's really emphasizing save the girl.
This is the main point.
There are now exactly as many And I'm look. I'm saying this in character, so I'm going to look at Irina apologetically when I say this. There's now exactly as many non-combatants in this group as there are us.
If we everyone's going to look at the two of you, or like all of you, but specifically the two of you, kind of bickering back and forth, acknowledge your point, Rasmus, and saying, as you astutely noted, we are helping to guide you away from trouble that you have seemingly caused in our home, where we were stealthily undertaking the job of the Order. We are now taking you to a place that we hope to be safe, to hopefully reconvene and find out how you can succeed in your mission. One of you has run off for a suicide mission, and now one of you proposes the rest of you do the same.
Yeah, I mean, I'm backing his point up by saying then to Bjorn, I don't like this as much as anybody. I'm the first one to say I don't like that he's walked off like this, and I would like to go and get him, but we can't risk taking them in that same direction. We're in a rock and a hard place here situation.
Bjorn is not used to dealing with other people or being dependent. So, audible, fuck him. He'll be all right, or he won't be. We'll head to this new location.
He made a decision.
Yeah,
we need to still press forward with this.
Yeah,
and then if he is still alive when we get there, great.
It's almost like he still be commenting on this adventure.
Rasmus in character is definitely going to Cody. Can I retcon something? I want to keep a hold of that letter. I'd rather not give that back to Erwin, unless he just like reached for it back. I'd like to have it still.
He was awake on watch and found it because and he would kind of explain it. He's like, I felt restless. A lot has happened. I want to make sure we are safe in larger perimeter. I found this toward where Aiden was crafting his stakes and brought it back here. So he has no allegiance or tie to the letter. You're free to have it.
So as the other party members are making the points, basically, of like, I don't know what we could do in that situation, Rasmus is kind of pacing and like looking at whether he's actually reading the letter or not. He's looking at it while they're talking. And as soon as Zephyr finishes, he's going to stop, snort like angrily, and then like literally crumple it in one hand. And just go, damn him, under his breath, and then go, all right, let's go.
Go where?
Forward.
Erwin's going to ask earnestly.
Forward. Yeah, he wouldn't say let's go, but whatever it is, I don't know. I'm not clever enough at the moment to say he's agreeing.
Proceeding to our current destination.
Yeah. Maybe he just says damn him and then just says all right. Acquiescing that, yes, that's what we got to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Irina is going to... All this commotion, all this bickering, at least the two of you, Bjorn and Rasmus, wouldn't have noticed her coming around the wagon. But as she kind of comes around to the center of the group, she's going to just look at you all and say, this can't be worth it. None of this can be worth this. None of this is worth... She kind of looks at all of you and looks down. None of this can be worth me.
Okay. God, I'm trying to think of how I want it. I'm reaching that point of the night where